Hello, all you atomic playboys and girls. It's your buddy Cranksy back with another episode of Sample Central. This is number 011, and that means we went past the benchmark 10 episodes. Everyone always seemed to like to compare this to The Arts, which this show is nothing like The Arts. Man, they had so much preparation and all these interviews, and that was 10 times more work than what I've been doing. All I've been doing is being a glorified DJ, which goes completely against what I was trying to do from the get-go. I said I didn't want to do that. I mean, let's listen to what I said.
The idea here is not to just play a bunch of tunes and simply be a DJ. That'll be boring.
Wow. Yeah, those are some pretty damning words. So my original intention with this show was to do something a little more interesting and a little more in-depth, but basically I got frickin' lazy. Part of my original inspiration for this show was a cat named Rick Beato. You can find him on YouTube. He's an old-school producer, musician kind of guy who does a music channel where not only does he do a lot of music education kind of thing, he does a series of videos that's called What Makes This Song Great, where he takes a bunch of pop tunes and classic rock and cool things and just breaks them down. Says, this is the chords they use. These are like the tones. Listens to individual tracks and channels and the vocals and the drums and talks about the production and everything that makes that song great. Why does it work so well? Why is it a classic? So that's what I originally kind of wanted to do with this. I wanted to play a lot of cool stuff, but I also wanted to really dig into a tune and get really geeky with it. So that's what I'm going to try and attempt to do now. I'm going to try and rectify all of that. Is it going to be a constant thing? No, I don't think so. I can't do this every single time. Sometimes it's fun just to play a bunch of cool shit. We're going to do that. But I want to try this and see how it works. Is it obscenely boring? Maybe. I think it's pretty cool. So I'm going to try and dig into this, play all the things that I think are really cool about these tracks, and we'll see where this goes. We'll see how you folks like this. We'll see if this is too much work for me to really do going into the future. This is the first of what I'm going to call What Makes This Track Tick. What makes this track, why is this so good? Why is this a classic? Why can we never forget these melodies and these sounds? This is episode 001 of What Makes This Track Tick, here on Sample Central. I'm not going to take it upon myself to introduce this tune. I'll go ahead and let the authors take care of that.
If you just, somebody has heard about the scene, usually second reality is the demo they have seen.
That's right, my atomic playboys and girls, we're talking about Second Reality. Obviously both Skaven and Purple Motion's tunes. We're going to dig deep into these bad boys and really talk about what makes them cool. So if we're talking about the intro here, you have the tune from Skaven, which starts with these really cool sound effects and some kettle drums, right? We got those going on. If we look at the samples, what you have playing in the beginning is the starship sounds, right? Plus some strings. You got all that going on. You got some panning. There's a lot of really cool effects. You've got them being pitched up and down to make these sounds. Right? So there you go. You can hear the pitch slide on that. Pretty cool. All kind of little sound effects. Then the string melody comes in. and the kettle drums. Where is it at? There's an echo on them. You got two different. And then, of course, you get to where the ships come in. There was a bunch of those samples that were labeled as surround in the original S3M version. Mind you, I am playing this in Schism Tracker. Yes, Schism as in, you know, that Tool song. Not SKISM, like the old ANSI group that I was kind of a part of back in the day. Local ANSI group. Anyways. So, Schism Tracker, because I tried playing this a little bit in Scream Tracker itself in DOSBox, but I just found it harder to move around and to be able to isolate channels and all that stuff for you guys. So, I just went ahead and jumped back into Schism Tracker, because it's much easier. You know, by these days, pretty much everybody is playing S3Ms just fine, so really, I don't think we're going to lose anything from that. If we were to go into the track and look at some of his notes, said, although not all people like kettle drums, I was asked to use them. Sorry about that. So maybe he just wasn't happy about using kettle drums, but maybe the other guy said, hey, we really need this in our tune. It's going to really make this demo feel more authentic as far as like being a soundtrack. We need some kettle drums, man. You got to put in the kettle drums. All right, fine. As we listen to this little clip from the audio commentary on the Mind Candy DVD that was put together by Hornet and put out by FuseCon, that Abyss, Skaven, and Marvel did the audio commentary for the second reality part of that DVD. Which is where the earlier clip had come from. And if we were to listen to Skaven's thoughts on how the music went right here.
And also, I remember when, for example, Purple Motion came with some tunes that he played out on the speakers and was listening to those and thinking about what could be fit into this. So there was this kind of a multi-talent kind of a cooperation going on.
I remember when I was working on the music and we were putting the demo together, I remember I had to crop the song quite heavily. I had to move patterns and delete patterns, and it felt quite horrible because I had made the song the way I liked it and then it had to be changed a lot. But overall, eventually it turned out working much better than originally. So
pretty much we did it so that we had almost the full demo ready and then fitted the music into the demo. More than fitting the demo or the effects into the music.
Maybe it's, I don't know, it's this just a non-musician's comment, but I think it's easier. It's faster to change the music than to change the code a lot.
Yeah, that's true.
Because you had a good tools to do that. Well, you had a screen tracker to do that.
Well, yes, but you can also change, for example, if you have a single part, you can easily change how long it runs.
That's true.
And you can actually put some markers into the song so that the demo part, the graphic part, actually waits until it reaches a certain point in the song and then switches to the next part.
Yeah.
That's what we also did.
Yeah. But I think as people have lot of people have commented that on Second Reality, the music is really one of the most important parts, one that really made it stand out of the crowd. And
I think so too.
So I don't think this kind of process of reiterating things, even though it might feel like cutting things, it's really like this is my opinion, and then you have to change that. It's not easy, but I think in retrospect, it worked.
Yeah, it came from the fact that it was actually they were changed to both the code and the music. They were both changed to cooperate better, and that's what made that fit so well together.
No, I think that's one of the most important things, even nowadays, just to get them fit, synchronize stuff.
So there you go. There's the intro, then we go into Purple Motion's tune, right? Well, what's playing right now in the background is four completely empty patterns, pattern 31 in the song from rows 14 to 17. Just completely blank patterns. Because as you remember, there's two different songs in this, but there's three different parts to the demo as far as the music goes, but only two songs. So where does it pick up? Right about here. So we get to the end part. Wow, I just screwed it up. I'm sorry. All right, let me try that again. So we start from here, right? Get that great lead. Just amazing melody. Whole while all the strings are going in the background. Nice little retard on the timing there. Now what you guys couldn't see at home there is it flew through to the end of a pattern just to get the timing exactly where they wanted it. It's really neat. Get this echoed, two channels echoed. The strings, then the percussion picks up. There's those kettle drums again. Really cool. Get these chord stabs. Really great chords. Doubled with octaves. I broke it again. So that's where we get to the actual end credit part, right? What you probably don't know is there's actually quite a few different versions of that. That either got cut from the original song or they just didn't use for whatever reason. But it's really kind of cool. That's the great thing about these tracked music files is it's like open source. It's like having open source code, which obviously eventually we did get the source code to Second Reality, which I actually poured over again recently, looking to see if there was any kind of insight as to how the music was handled. I didn't really learn too much from that as far as the way the music went. But this is two different parts of the song that are used in two different parts of the demo. So I don't know if they just reloaded the module for the end part, for the 3D part, and then jumped to a certain row in the pattern list And that's where they ended up. Okay, so I'm going to consult my notes here. The ending contains a bunch of unused patterns. The song as we know it from the demo loops from position 33 from 62. So 33 is where the credits start, right? We know that part. So if we go past row 32 in the pattern list, we find another blank pattern, pattern 31, which is blank. We're treated to an alternate ending. And right there, it looped back. So there was another unfinished section. And actually, there's even two patterns there that weren't used. Okay, so those two patterns, I don't know what was going on there. That was an unfinished idea or something. But there was a string of several patterns before that where it had looped back to the beginning. So I don't know if that was going to be part of an alternate ending. I'm not sure. So if we jump past this next point, there's another blank pattern 31 there, which is why those strings were ringing out. So if we go to row 69, play that. And there it goes, looping back to the beginning of this section. So there's a whole extra, like, different ending there that loops back. And I honestly, I'd have to watch the demo again live, which is really hard, apparently, to get running nowadays because it doesn't like DOSBox, probably because some of the video mode switching and some other tricks that they used in there. That it's really hard to make it run. But I wonder if that was maybe the second or third time that it looped around, it would go to that. Because I remember those credits would run on forever and that music would loop for forever. But obviously, if you look at any of the video rips of it, either on Mind Candy or online on like YouTube, it cuts a lot of that out. It just kind of plays through it once and there you go. So, but yeah, there's a whole lot of extra bits on the end there. Some good, some not as good. But I'm wondering if maybe they just had some alternate endings or some other ideas that they never used or got cut from the original song to make it fit the demo. But there they are, still in the pattern order. Still there for us to discover and play with. But I think that's about all we can really dig into with the Skaven tune. I encourage anybody to download these songs and just play around with them. Look at the patterns. look at the samples that are used. You know, there's not a lot in this, just some strings. Some cymbals, obviously. That famous song, it's looped so they can have a reverb on it. And the lead. And of course, the kettle drums. The ship sounds. The other drum. Nice snare. The big brass. More ships, the other drum. A lot of doubled samples, but with slight variations on them. And there you go. The whole tune is panned. So typically in this format, you have a panning from 01 to 64. So 32 being right in the middle. All of these are panned left, right, left, right, left, right, left, right. It's only 8 channels. They are panned from 14 on the left and 50 on the right. Oh, roughly around a 55, 60% panning left and right. So it's not super hard panned, but you can definitely hear the pattern, the panning in the original tune. So I think let's dive on over to Purple Motion's tune. And dig into that a little bit. Sound good? So, the song that everybody knows. Probably one of the more famous demo scene tunes of definitely the 90s and early PC scene, I should say. Not demo scene completely, but definitely of the PC scene. And that's, of course, the Second Reality, aka Unreal 2. Main part by Purple Motion. It's kind of interesting if you look in the pattern order. There's one quick little sort of blank pattern. If I were to go to that pattern, it's only 4 rows long. It's just setting the volume to 0 on everything, shutting off all the samples, getting the tune ready to play as such. Three parts. 1, 2, 3. 3 channels all echoing that main line. Meanwhile, in the background, eventually, you get some of these other hits in the background that are playing. Then you get that bass line. It's doubled in octaves. 2 different samples, 2 different octaves. Make up that bass line. Pretty cool. Get the cymbals going. Drum line. And there you go. Already right into the next part of the demo. That made acidy line echoed, channels 1 and 2. Background, this is just chugging along, D sharp. Is that a D sharp? I'm gonna have to look at it. I'm gonna sound like a fool, because I don't know. Now I gotta go look. Where the hell in the order were we? Now we're past that. Where's that in the pattern? 02. Okay, let's look at that pattern. Pattern 02. This is probably one of the first things he wrote for this song. Right there. Pattern 02. I'm an idiot. It's just one note with the volume cutting on and off. So it's an A sharp. Wow, okay. I'm ridiculous. Where was that part? Yeah, so they're just cutting the volume in and out really fast. Sample's just playing. Get the drum line going. Get those little hits that are echoed in the background. And see, that's what I always really dug about this tune. If you listen to that little section there, you get these transitions between the patterns where they're just taking, just a sound effect and just whooshing it on through there by either changing the pitch or just doing some volume swells. It's always been kind of cool. That's what makes this a soundtrack. Like that. I mean, it doesn't get any better. See, now you're hearing the echo of that. There's the original. And you know what goes there. So there you get that other lead echoed. Again, this song's only 8 channels. I'm assuming that, you know, they could have used more. Scream Tracker could do more channels. I think maybe they just wanted to keep the CPU overhead as low as they could while still having something better than the Amiga was doing, because everyone's doing 4 channel on Amiga. They're like, hey, we're going to do 8 on, you know, a 386 PC with all these crazy effects going. And listen to those echoes on that, on those leads. I mean, that just makes this tune. Meanwhile, you got this line still going in the background. All right, I gotta back that up again. You know what comes there. Get down. That's right. And then we get down. 3 channels all there, playing different parts to that. We go up a step, come back down. Actually, it's more than a step. The third? So you got actually 2 different things going on there. You got this line. You got this one. They're playing the same thing, but when you put them together, and they're panned different, and then you get an echo of the first one, or the second one. Which is kind of cool. Meanwhile, got that other little bass line just kind of playing underneath it. And then the piano comes in. Also echoed. Some of those more swells. Check that out again. Again, you got 2 channels playing that main arpeggiated melody, echoed. What I've always thought was really cool about this sort of bass line, acid-y bass line, I never noticed that the little tremolo in there. It's beautiful. It's got like a groove to it. Right here. That little tremolo. Wow. It's totally cool. It's one of those things you don't notice unless you start picking through this kind of thing. Right? The bass line comes in. Gotta get the chimes. That's just so cool. real subtle drums going on. Get those extra little stabs in there that I think are echoed somewhere. Oh, it's self-echoing. Okay. And get that line coming back in.
I am not an atomic playboy.
So you got two different lines, both echoing. Channel 1 and 2, and you get 7 and 8.
Get down.
You got 4 channels all doing that arpeggio. That's why it sounds huge. And then that melody. Also echoed, 2 channels, 5 and 6. I should note that this section here is actually a halftime from the rest of the tune, or most of the rest of the tune. Which is kind of cool. Now we're back to double time on the pattern speed. We modulate up a little bit again, add some tension. Then back down. Does this constantly through the whole tune. Really makes it work. Okay, that's the echo of that one. Only 3 channels this time, because we have these going on, which is echoed. Got those choruses going on in the background. And then, of course, that melody. Everybody knows that melody, right? I can get to it. And that's it. I mean, it's such a big part of the demo, but it's amazing just how kind of quick it's over. It's actually not a huge part of the actual demo. It's just bang, man. It's just go. It's really cool. Looking at my notes here, there was another fun little trivia thing. What did I say? From 23 and pattern 10. So let's just loop that pattern, right? Where is it? No? You get this little... It almost sounds like a little guitar. Just playing in the background. So maybe this isn't the... Alright, sorry. It's not the pattern I'm thinking of. Where is it? Where does it start at? Is it here? Probably? Yes. We're gonna loop that. So one thing I never noticed, there's a freaking drum loop in this tune. But the funny thing is it's not really timed very well. It's actually kind of out of... Yeah, it's not looped super cleanly, really, when you're looking at it. We're gonna see if I can find that. I wish I would have taken notes on which freaking sample that was. But yeah, I never even realized that there's actually a drum loop in that song, because there's like five or six different drum samples in there. There's like two or three different bass drums, a couple different snares. They're used to different parts. It's not just sort of like, hey, we loaded a 909 bass drum and we just used that for the whole song. No, there's a bunch of different things in there. So that's a fun little tidbit of this tune here. So I think really the only thing left to do is let's play these bad boys, man, all together, as if we're watching the demo. Because too many times when these songs are streamed on Nectarine or any other sites, you get one or the other. You don't really get the whole thing together. So that's what we're going to give you here. The entire Second Reality soundtrack by Future Crew from Skaven and Purple Motion from 1993. If we're going to load these... The Purple Motion song is just about 600K. The Skaven tune is just shy of 400 kilobytes. So from 1993, here on Sample Central, what makes this track tick? Episode 011. What makes this song tick? 001. It's Skaven in Purple Motion with Second Reality.
We'll be right back.
Sample Central.